Alright, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we have another outstanding show planned for you today. It's Soapbox Monday, y'all. You know what that means. Y'all control what we talk about. And being that it's Monday, man, I'm sure there's a lot to talk about. That's because a lot has gone on over the weekend. I want to give a shout out to guest 1363 and guest 1424 already in the chat room. Ready for something to happen. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. Woo! I'm telling you, man. Well, if you want to get in on the conversation today, just give me a call. 347-838-8622. Email me, erictalk@gmail.com. Or join me in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com. .com/EricJackson62. So how y'all doing out there, man? How was your weekend? I hope everybody had a nice weekend. It was nice and cool here in the Central Texas area. You know, so we just having a good time chilling. You know, ready to get the week started. I'm telling you. Nothing like the start of a new week. Well, you know, we got so much going on right now, man. It's just crazy. It really is. You know, and of course, the biggest thing is this supposedly government shutdown or partial government shutdown, and soldiers may be getting the IOU from the government for the pay. You know, some people won't be able to work until there's funds in the... Man, I'm telling you, it's so much going on. But why? Why do we even have to come to this now? You know what I mean? They've had 6 months. And, of course, everything comes down to what? The Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act. That's man, I tell you. Oh, Lord. So, I don't know, y'all. It may take a moment because don't look like there's a conclusion anywhere soon, you know? Because Democratic-led Senate just rejected the proposal that the Republicans put out there. You know, so I don't know. But why are they once again trying to attack the Affordable Care Act? Come on. Then it was, what, 43 times now? 43 times. Leave that alone. Let's move on to something else like feeding the hungry, the homelessness in this country. You know, job situation. But yet they keep focusing on this one issue. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. It'll work out. It'll work itself out whether it's good or bad. You know? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, man, have mercy. But yet, just because they want to have their little political fights, we, the American citizen, has to put up with this crap. I mean, what's really going on? And you know the other bad thing about this is, you know, everybody pointing fingers, but it's all their fault. Because nobody's trying to really compromise with anything. You know, Republicans now, they want to push it back for a year. The Democrats say no. Something's got to give. You know what I mean? But, hey, it is what it is, and hopefully they get it fixed out so the citizens won't have to suffer too long. Because that's, in the long run, who's going to end up suffering? We, the citizens of the United States of America. Oh man, I tell you. So I know that's going to be a great conversation right there. You know, and we got so much other things going on around here. You know, 48 people hurt in a mysterious train crash in Chicago. Now we got trains acting crazy. Man, I tell you. Oh, you know, it's just amazing. Got pastors getting shot while they giving sermons. What is this world coming to, y'all? What is it coming to? Have we now gotten to that point to where it just doesn't matter anymore? Have we come to a point to where life doesn't mean anything to anyone? You know, there's a story coming out of Corpus Christi, Texas, where a store owner shot a man in the head for stealing beer out of his store. But now the store owner is up for what? Murder. He's been arrested for murder. Imagine that. I'm telling you that when is this violence we're ain't going to stop? When? You know, see, that's what it seems like. You know, we are just a society of violence. Life means nothing. Morals, values are out the window. Well, dang it, we need to do something. We got to fix this. Because for sure, it's not working. All right. But after my opening anyway, just to give you something to chew on, and you know, chew on so you have something to talk about for a little bit. But anyway, you know, it's just crazy. Thought Superior, welcome to the show. I haven't seen you before up in there on Let's Talk, but thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoy yourself. You know, let's show you some love here. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right. Antoinette, hey, darling. How you doing today? Hope you had a great weekend. I hope everybody had a great weekend. You know, I don't care what your weather was. If you got out and spent time with some family, people you love, then, hey, it was good. It was good. So, anyway, with that being said, let's go on and talk about some things here. The house rules. House rules are as follows. This is an adult show, and adult things are said on the show. Now, if you're one of those sensitive people, then I don't know. You may wanna step back for a moment. I'ma tell you why. I'll tell you why, because we get kind of loose sometimes up in here. It's nothing personal, neither anyone. It's nothing personal. You know, it just happens. You know, it just happens, and that's the beauty of the show. Everybody gets a chance to voice their opinion or their thoughts. Okay, so now, with that being said, you know, as I said before, this is an adult show. Adult things are said. Keep your responses short and to the point. No 15, 20 presentations, please. Also, let's not do the personal attack. Okay? All right. Because we don't do that here. We do not do personal attacks on this show. We do not have the drama. We try not to bring to have drama on the show either. You know, that's something I don't go for. you know, everybody gets their chance to speak, so respect the other person's mic time. All right? That's all. It's not hard. We just have to be courteous. You know, that's something else that this country is just not anymore. You know, nobody's courteous to anyone. I know that sounds crazy. Oh, Lord. But, you know, we'll work on that also. Anyway, we'll finish the house rules. As I said, no personal attacks. Short and sweet, respect each other's mic time. And just let's have some fun. You know, let's have some fun. Of course, we're going to get a little serious. But, you know, we interject fun in it sometimes because that's what we like to do. Now, you may hear some of the regulars go off on each other. But, you know, if you're new to the show and you're just visiting, I mean, just stopping by, just, you know, chill out. Because they do it all the time. There's no hatred. They love each other. They just get heated and passionate about what they're saying. And that's what I love, because individuals become very passionate about what they're talking about. And if you're that passionate, then yes, you know, your feelings get to flowing, the words, your brain get to working. And yes, some things are said, but it's still good. We good on that, all right? So I just want to let you know. Once again, if you want to join the conversation, 347-838-8622. Hey, hit me up. It's Soapbox Monday. What you want to get on the soapbox and talk about? Hey, today is your day. It's your show. That's what I always say. It's your show. All right. Anyway, so let's get on with the quote of the day and the song of the day, because those were the house rules. And, you know, hopefully everybody understand and they'll go ahead and abide by them accordingly. If not, well, then, you know, I have to do something about that to help you abide by the house rules. I know, I shouldn't say abide, but that's it. Beasley, what's up, brother? I ain't seen you in a couple of days. All right, quote of the day. It's simple, and it's to the point. Things turn out best for people who make the best out of the ways things turn out. Can you ask for anything simpler than that? Things turn out best for people who make the best out of the way things turn out. That's right. I mean, it's so easy to do. You know, a lot of us, and a lot of times we get caught up in what's going on now, what has happened, and we all upset. What? Have you ever thought about just flipping it? Just flip it. Yeah, it started out bad. But stop and say, wait a minute. How can I make this work to my advantage? You know, how can I get it to do what I want it to do? And a lot of times that solution is so simple and it's right there. It is. But a lot of times we just are too tunnel vision to realize that the solution is right there for us, right there in our face. Do you understand? And I think that's part of the problem with the Democrats and the Republicans, the Libertarians, the Tea Party, the nunchucks, the knuckleheads. You know, that's part of the problem. You know, everybody wants to see things their way, but the solution is right there in front of them if they stop fighting and just sit down and think about some things. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. It's simple. It's simple, yet so hard. Because everyone has an agenda. Everyone has something that they want to have happen to favor them. You know, it's not about the whole. You know, everybody got a part that they want to have done. You want this done. You want that done. Well, you know what? Eventually, something's going to have to be done to where everybody just sit down and say, well, you know what I always said? It's simple. Put them all in a room. Give each one of them a joint. Because don't tell me they're not smoking. Some of them in there smoking and doing worse things than that. You know, give them a couple of tokes or put some smoke in the ventilation system. Run it directly to their room. Give them about 10, 15 minutes, and I guarantee they come up with a dang-gone solution. head. It will come up with a solution. Okay, maybe that's just my way of thinking. But, you know, things turn out best with people who make the best out of the way things turn out. Simple. Easy. I kind of like that, though. Give them a joint. Let them do what they got to do. It won't be so much fighting because they be too busy laughing and figuring out some things. But, you know, I guess it's the society we live in, right? Right. Daboo One, welcome to the show. I see you. All right. Now, before we get... I see you, Brother Lowe. I'll get to you right after the song of the day, all right? Let's see, Brother Lowe got the switchboard lit up already. So I know we about to have us some fun. But anyway, before we do, of course, y'all, that was the quote of the day, all right? And it's time for the song of the day. It's a good one. I like it. You know, that's all I can say. But I hope you enjoy it, too. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, the song of the day.
You have a bad day.
All right, y'all. That was Daniel Powder. You had a bad day. I'm telling you, man. I don't know why that song, you know, I guess when I have bad days, I play a song like that, and it just, for some reason, it lifts me up. I mean, but I got one tomorrow. It's really going to lift you up, man. I mean, the song tomorrow, whoo, it's going to make some of you get up out your seat and shout a little bit, but that's tomorrow. So I hope you're looking forward to that. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And if you want to join the conversation today, today is Soapbox Monday, which means you can get on the soapbox, talk about whatever you want to. Whatever you want to. You know, no subject is off limits. That's right. But, you know, if you want to join the conversation, 347-838-8622, email me. Email me. EricLetsTalk@gmail.com. Also, we have we have our chat room open, www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric62. And let's see, is there any other ways? Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. All right. So those are all the ways we can talk. You can get in touch with Mr. Talk. You can get on the phones, chat room, email me, Facebook me. It doesn't matter. If you want to talk about something, you can't call in, you want to send an email or text or whatever, do it. Do it. And I read it on the air. It doesn't matter. What you're doing, you're working, it doesn't matter if you're working. You still can participate in the show. See? All right. Okay, I'm going to stop. All right, here we go. So we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. I got two callers on the line already. So let me welcome Mr. Lowen and Misty Pianchi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Hey, Eric.
How are you? How you doing? How was your weekend?
Your business.
Yeah, I got it.
It wasn't none of my
business. Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Thank you. How was your weekend? Everybody had a good weekend?
Yeah. All right. Pretty much.
Every day is a weekend for me.
Yeah.
Well,
pretty much.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. All
well, you
right.
Sound happy
so
today, Eric. I'm happy.
Today,
I'm happy everything's going well for you.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you. You know, the Most High is taking care of me, so yeah, everything is going fine. Nah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
That's good.
What's going on, brothers?
On,
how y'all doing? I'm sorry to come in so late. How y'all brothers doing? I'll take care of something for my wife.
Oh, okay. Well, everything's going fine. Tell your wife I said hello. Hope she had a good birthday.
Do that.
All
hey,
right.
She did. Trust me. My wallet.
Oh, so. Well, well. Long as mama happy, everybody happy. We all know this,
yeah.
Right?
I didn't understand what that meant years ago, and trust me, now I do.
I bet you do. Yeah.
Oh. How you doing, yeah. Pianchi? How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine so far.
That's good.
Oh,
me
Lord.
Too. Thanks,
so
for, thanks for caring and sharing. Thanks for caring and sharing, brother. Thanks for caring and sharing. I love y'all the same.
All right. Well, tell me, guys, what's
you,
going on?
Are you trying to sell some used cars or something? Because you sure are a chipper.
No, I'm not trying to sell any used cars. I said I'm feeling good.
I already don't sell it.
Last week, I tried to tell y'all last week I wasn't feeling well. I really wasn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm good. You know, I've handled some business and I'm good. You know,
oh, okay.
Thanks to Antoinette, gave me a good remedy. And, you know, I'm all right now.
All right, there you go. So the used car you sold, it was that white, was that a Cougar or a Thunderbird?
Man, that's a Thunderbird Super Coupe, baby. That's a monster there. That's a monster, baby. That was my baby.
Big, The Big Bird. I remember that car, man.
I busted. Look, I bust many Mustangs in their booty back in the day.
I heard that.
Rolled up on them and hit the gas a couple of times. Man, we take off down the road, that supercharger kick in, and they sit down in the back, it's over.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, that's man. Everybody's claim to fame when they squat down in the back. That's everybody's claim to fame, huh?
When they squat down, you know it's just ready. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wide open then. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And look, a five-speed, too? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That was my dream car. Yeah.
Come on.
That was my dream car. And I bought, huh?
I said, come on. Hey, tell it.
No, it was my dream car, you know, and I was lucky enough to get it, and I was good. You know, now I have no need for so much speed anymore, you know.
Right.
I'm at a more mature age now.
Now you're moving over into that right lane. You're moving in that right lane, saying, go ahead. I see you with the man behind you.
Look, there you go. See, I'm enjoying the scenery more now.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's how you miss things, if you don't enjoy the scenery.
That's right, you know. I'm enjoying the scenery.
But
all right,
enough about me.
Go ahead.
I'm going to throw something at you.
Okay.
You said give them a joint and let them chill out? That's what you said a few minutes ago, right?
Put them in a room. Yeah, put them all in a room and put some marijuana through the vents and send it through the room they're sitting in, and I guarantee you within 10, 15 minutes we'll have a solution. Because, go ahead.
You go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead. Hello?
Yes, you fell out the chair.
You feeling so good, you fell out the chair.
Yeah.
Wow.
The window flew open, let in some fresh air, and the room blew out the smoke.
Well, what's your take on that, Bianca? I'm seriously asking, too. What's your take on this whole thing? Because you know I have mine.
Oh, what? I was doing something and listening to y'all at the same time. What would you say?
The whole, you know, we haven't reached an agreement yet thing, you know.
Oh, you mean as far as Congress is concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nothing new. You know, the government has came to a standstill 17 times since 1976, and 9 of those 17 times it was done so by Democrats against a Republican president.
Mm-hmm.
And the other times it was done by Republicans against a Democratic president. So some of the reasons that people give why it's happening, I don't pay too much attention to. It's happening because you got representatives who was put in office by U.S. citizens that feel that they don't want things to go the way that they're appearing to go. And then on the other side, you got those who feel that they do want to. So That's what it is.
You think any of this would have anything to do with any special interest?
It always has something to do with special interest.
Right. Well, the question is then, Why don't the average Joe, you know, for the lack of a better phrase, why don't they ever look at it from that aspect? I mean, you and I both know the majority of the time the average Joe is just looking at it from the aspect of, well, you know, they shouldn't be doing this because it's going to hurt our that. You know, why don't they look at it from the aspect of, you know, Merck gave $100 million to this man's campaign, and they're just looking for something small, just a little small thing, and that's the only reason why we're holding out right now. But the thing is, that $100 million that they gave is going to bring them back.
Well, they probably gave they probably gave a similar amount to the other side too, Romney's campaign.
Right.
But
okay, y'all,
you know,
I'm
those
back.
Are things.
I'm sorry. I'm back. I had a little thing going on with Skype here.
Oh.
But anyway,
that's just the way that's just the way things are. Low, you have interest. That's what can I say? People who ethnic groups that have business representation, business backing, can utilize the government better so than those who don't.
Right, and I agree with you, man. I agree with you 100% because you know the man that lived in my community growing up that owned the funeral home, you know, and he was a quote unquote so-called African-American man with the first quote-unquote black funeral home in the area. And even when he moved outside of the community into to the country, even when he moved out, his influence still stayed there in town, you know. And mm-hmm. that's how it works. And, you know, I agree with that, man. You know, if you have a business, and Mr. Economics was on Friday and he brought forth some great information. If you have an economic standing and it's a powerful, even one that's, you know, some people may think is mediocre, but at the same time, it's enough to bring forth some attention to you, then, you know, people are going to listen to what you have to say.
That's true.
Yeah.
But let me bring Beasley in also. Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show. Your mic is open.
Happy
Go
Monday.
Ahead, you. Happy Monday. Go ahead.
No, what he said was absolutely right. That's why one reason why I come on some issues that's dear to the black population. They don't go no place because they don't have no way to persuade.
Right.
The issue of reparations for one reason. You can't get reparation from a begging position. You have to have that from the I got something you need and you got something I want.
Reparations will never happen. If it
reparations.
Not, it'll never
reparations,
happen. Not that it's
reparations.
Go ahead.
Reparations would happen if blacks was in the proper position. It
right.
may not happen the way you would view it, but there's
right.
reparations can come in many different ways. It has been given. This 1964 Civil Rights Act.
No,
initially was a form of reparations because it made blacks a special class. African Growth and Opportunity Act is a form of reparation because blacks could produce and manufacture in a West African country and bring those products back into the states.
Affirmative action a little bit, but it wasn't really in it. It was more like evening the playing field, but I guess you can consider that a form of reparations.
Well,
but,
yeah,
and,
you can.
And as far as somebody being black and black people in positions, you know, white supremacy can manifest itself in any skin hue.
Well, white supremacy is just like any other obstacle. The way to defeat white supremacy is to compete against it, not to ask for its mercy.
No, white supremacy has been the order of the day since the 1500s, and it is lock, stock, and complete control and power.
Well,
but
that's
what
not
I
true.
Was saying,
I have had operations that have defeated what quote unquote white supremacy. So I know
that it can be defeated. And that's your personal experience, but that has done nothing to dismantle the structure of white supremacy that exists.
Yeah, but my personal experience could be Lowe's personal experience on whatever endeavor that he takes on in a competition mode. It could be Eric's personal experience. Could be yours
too.
What's
your
endeavor?
You're not defeating white supremacy by being a man of color and working within the system and achieving something. That's not defeating white supremacy, in my opinion.
Anytime.
What I was saying is that white supremacy. The reason why reparations won't happen. Well, there's a number of reasons, but you stated that blacks aren't in the right positions, but white supremacy, as I was saying, can manifest itself in any skin hue. You can't tell me that Obama and Eric Holder are not continuing and have the thrust.
You know,
of
let me tell you.
Behind their actions.
Hold on one second, Pionk. Let him finish because you know he's going to go on a tangent. Let him finish.
No.
I want to hear this.
No, there's no tangent.
That they're continuing
the legacy of white supremacy. That they represent white supremacist ideologies and the institutions and the people that are in part of these institutions. That's a given. It may not be a given, and that's why you won't have reparations.
Well, either it's a given or it's not. Which one is it?
What is it to you? To me, it's
no,
a given,
you
but, want, but,
you
but,
threw
but,
it out
but,
there,
but, Beasley. But what so what what's easily understood by me may not be easily understood by others. That's why I corrected myself like that.
Well, I'm saying that what you're trying to describe is capitalism.
No, well,
which is nothing wrong with.
Except they have all the capital.
Yes, they do, but they do now. But it can't be acquired. They're saying that they have, and really, it's not that they have it all. It's said that they have
capitalism
a lot. There's a lot
right,
of other things that can
wasn't,
be.
Wasn't designed with people of color, with them thinking of people of color taking a place and participating in it.
Well, that's except, not true. Capitalism has been utilized by people of color. Continues to do so today.
You want to disagree with me so bad you didn't even listen to what I said exactly. I said capitalism wasn't designed and it wasn't put forth as something that was concerned about people of color participating in it. I didn't say that black people don't participate in capitalism. I'm doing capitalistic things myself. Don't be so quick.
White supremacy can be for what it is. The thing is, you got elements in the country, not elements, but you got the definition of what white supremacy really is argued at from two different sides. One, I think that is that whites think that they are physically and mentally better than everybody, whereas
right.
The other side know that it has to do with economics.
Right.
And that's where you defeat them economically. You don't do it's a piece of pie out there. Who controls the biggest slices? All the pie is already divided up amongst those who's presently playing. Now, if you want a piece of the pie, you have to get in there and take portions from those who already have existing slices. That's defeating that whole attitude. You get in there and take portions of those who already have slices.
And you made yourself worth $1 billion. You haven't done anything really to affect and change white supremacy. You've done very, very, very little. So to thinking that you can do that by yourself or within a group as deeply as ingrained as white supremacy is, you're kidding yourself.
Do you know what quarterly financials are?
Pardon me?
You know what quarterly financials are?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it like this. At the end of the year, when you do your financials and your net profits
mm-hmm.
is X number of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Lowell entered the industry and you do your financials, when Lowell enters the industry, your net profit, that dollar amount is less than what it was the year before. That's because Lowell have taken part of it.
There's a difference between when you talk about the pie. White supremacy owns the dough, owns the flour, owns the sugar, owns the ovens, and owns the tins that the pie comes in, along with owning the land and the trees and the fruit. So while you're dividing that pie, the structure, the institutional structure, whether it be banking, whether it be education, whether it be the structure of nations, is locked in tune with white supremacy. So while you think you're dividing this pie, you haven't done anything really to change. You're just showing that a black person can work within the system, which is the system.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong
I
with
wasn't,
that. I'm not knocking you
my
for that.
Business,
I commend
my business,
able to achieve.
Let's
so
get back on this pie you're talking about. My business is not baking pies. My business is cut slices.
Hold on, Beasley. That's all.
All right, well, just hold on.
Go ahead.
As I said before, my business is not making pies. Now, once I replenish the net operating financials, the net operation profits of my competitors, then at some point in time, I may want to get into those other businesses that supply the ingredients for the pie. I may want to get into the milling business of flour. I may want to get into the manufacturing of tins or tin pans. But I can't do it if I don't go in there and compete and take away from them. Or should I say Lowe couldn't do it? But I use him as an example. It happens all the time.
I thought you were talking about Lowe's.
No, go ahead. Don't worry about that. Don't throw a curveball, Beasley. Go ahead.
That's not a curveball.
Go ahead, man.
So these old analogies that I hear coming out that blacks can't do this, blacks put a big dent in white supremacy in the area of oil by a man by the name of Jake Simmons, who created a black oil dynasty in Texas back in the early part of last century.
That is one person breaking through that is not changing anything about the structural imbalances of white supremacy.
One person, that means that if one goes through the door, why come others don't?
You're not getting you get it, but you don't want to concede the point. So that's okay. I commend you for anybody that does well. And the worst part is smart enough to
get out. What's the point? What's the point?
Huh? I made the point, and he understood the point perfectly.
The point is
going back and using the pie for illustrative purposes, that the pie and getting a piece of the pie, okay, and getting a market share in a particular industry doesn't change the entire system where they own everything.
Actually,
it's not supposed to change everything all at once, but over time. And I understand what this man was saying. This man was saying, well, okay, if he did this, and you have another man come in and do this, and another man, okay, well, you manufacture the aluminum pans that makes that holds these pies, and somebody else has the dough. Another brother has the dough portion. Eventually, you will own all of it. The only problem will come is when you have to sit down together and decide what you want to do.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That'll be the only problem.
Good luck with this.
You know, I can give you another example.
Competing with you. Good luck with that.
I can give you another example. There's a Jamaican American who owns the business called Golden Crust Caribbean Bakery and Grill. And he started making bakery pastry items that was conducive to Jamaicans. And he controlled everything except the, just like you mentioned, the dough. And he was dealing with an outside firm, which is probably white, and providing him with the dough that he needed. And they kept delaying his process. So what did he do? He said, to hell with this. I started making my own dough. Now, his revenue income is about $100 million in that process. So he took away the possibility of a white entity or some other entity taking his money in order to provide him with a component of his operation. He said, to heck with it, I would do it myself.
He hired
family members.
And he made his whole operation that much more seamless and smooth and not depending on anyone else. That was a strong move on his part.
Okay,
so these things about the...
I'm saying that
individual becoming, having more control over his business and the supply and of the materials that need to make his product, all I'm saying, that in itself, to me, doesn't do much to dismantle white supremacy. He's still working within the system, which is fine, because that's just the system the way that it is.
Well,
can it change over time? Perhaps. It's a mighty huge disadvantage, and I know one thing for sure from what I'm seeing with this younger generation, you know, it would be a miracle if it were to come from them.
Well,
What a young generation reflected of old generation.
There's a missing generation there when it comes at least to black folks here in America.
No, I say
drugs,
that black
drugs,
folks here
drugs,
in America
drugs,
have
drugs took out at least two generations.
Black folks, even though they have suffered these casualties in America, have all the necessary skills and talents to change this situation around at any point in the future that they just want to do due diligence and do that.
Yeah, but
what is this true diligence, though, you're talking about?
Due
because
diligence.
They're not getting
studying, doing your research.
But this
doing
is a generation. Let's
time.
Talk about this. This is a generation that believes in, they want it now. They don't want to spend time doing no studying, no nothing. They want theirs now.
That's my generation, too, for a bit. But
that's what he just said.
Yeah, but it's different. That's different. This is a generation that's being led by pop culture, but
mm-hmm.
they march to a different tune.
Wow.
They're marching to Trinidad James and to Gucci Mane, and those figures become far more important than say this gentleman that owns the Jamaican gentleman that owns the bakery thing that does $100 million worth of business a year. Now,
well, that's fine, and the reason why it's fine.
Listen, really
the reason
what,
the reason why
then
it's
you
okay
have
is
that are
the
emulating,
reason
that are emulating
Beasley. The reason why it's okay. The reason why it's okay is because, just like you said, Gucci Mane and whoever else you name is a very popular person. This person is everywhere. You see this person on the internet, in your neighborhoods, yada 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 yada. But this guy that you talk to, the Jamaican man, you only see him in one specific area for the most part.
I never even heard of him.
Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Miss Lady in. All right, Miss Lady, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been listening for about 10 minutes.
That's long enough.
I wanted to pause it there, because I mentioned it before, that people look up Lee Fluid Jr., who retired from the Air Force after many years, and who's written a book about white supremacy and how to deal with it. And he's on YouTube, he's on blog talks and interviews.
Now,
Lee Fluid Jr.
Who is this?
Neely Fuller Jr.
N-E-E-L-Y.
And he maintains the same hypothesis or theory that Dr. Frederick Craig Welsing does, who is a medical doctor and psychiatrist who spoke out against the system and had to leave her job at Howard University Medical School as a result.
For speaking out against white supremacy at Howard University?
She was
okay. I'm just making. I can't hear you that well. I'm just trying to understand you.
Oh, okay. So she was basically talking about the system. There's a gentleman who's talking about the system. It's a system that's been set up to ensure white genetic survival.
And so in effect, every
single area of life, they are in control from law, politics, education, economic, housing,
right,
marriage, sport, and religion. In
institutional
other words,
racism.
So it's a system that's
right,
practiced locally and globally.
Right.
And so what? One of the strategies that Neely Fuller talked about, and there are many that are initiated and instituted systemic-wide to ensure that the status quo stays the same. One of them is to allow individual people to succeed.
Right.
They don't want them to succeed, but at the cost of doing business, okay? Basically, so they'll allow Oprah Winfrey, they'll allow certain individuals, and so they can use that as an excuse. Well,
how come you can't do it? They can.
He said, but
right,
they won't talk about the hundreds of millions of people around the globe that can't even afford to buy this. So listen, it is a system, and if you can somehow succeed within the system, kudos to you. But don't look down on other people that aren't that fortunate. Because nobody succeeds without a nucleus of support. And sometimes you're at the right time, the right place, the right era. Like when affirmative action was the rage.
Right.
People got jobs. They
people
got food,
educated.
Grants. They didn't have to pay back. Now they don't have those grants. You got to take out loans. And the school and the health, the cost of education is way beyond what most people can afford and what they'll be able even to pay back. So they're
that's
starting
true.
Off in a bitch.
And now.
So all of this individualism, I did, it's really an arrogant stance to take. You know, like, look at me. I did, I'm so great. No, you're not. Okay? You're really not. You were fortunate. Maybe you were blessed. Who knows how you got it? Who knows how people, some people sleep their way to the top. Some people are the beneficiaries of money that came from drug dealers. Or their parents were able to help them. So thank God for that. Okay, I get it. But you're no special than anybody else. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he talks about many strategies, Neely Fuller Jr., of what is used, and that's just one of the strategies.
Well,
and so all of this telling, this individualism, is really a white ethnocentric concept. Black people never survived and never made it on individualism. I pull myself up by myself, which is all bullshit. Nobody ever succeeds alone.
That's the way. That's the way that blacks have been taught. You know, you get yours and I get mine, and you know, I'm an individual. I'm gonna make this and I'm gonna do this for.
But isn't that
in my circle?
Well, thank
but
God
doesn't
Harry
that apply? Doesn't that apply?
That,
that applies to everybody, though.
Thank
no,
God
it does
Harry
not. It does not apply. The
well,
reason why
you know,
it does not apply to everybody is because a white person that doesn't like another white person on a job will pull them up to step on a black person.
Thank you.
Call me a liar.
And really, there's a big lawsuit that was filed in Florida. Attorney Willie Gary, he's like one of the top, most wealthiest attorneys in the country, against a hospital down in Florida, a prominent black anesthesiologist who was chairman of the anesthesia department at a hospital in Florida, started being harassed, discriminated against, demoted. It's insecurity and jealousy on their part. And then I think he might have been terminated. I'm not sure, but he filed a huge multi-million-dollar lawsuit, and it's going around the country. People
that
all over
man,
the country. The EEOC has complaints have soared. So don't sit up here and talk about how, oh, I get it. Everybody else can do it the same. No, it's all fact-specific and dependent.
You know,
variables, but the system is in place and it's very effective.
You know, well, if you look at our community as a whole, when and me and somebody that I love dearly was talking about before the schools were integrated, the entire black community watched out and looked out for everybody in that community. You had a few strugglers and a few stragglers, yeah, but as a whole, everybody looked out for everybody. And when we got integrated, then we got to the point where, hey, well, you know, I can't worry about them anymore. You know, I got to worry about what I have in front of me. Even the neighbor that live right beside you, you only concerned about you and what you can get to make sure you got everything you want instead of, you know, ensuring that the people around you are okay also, you know, and that. That's something that we learn from them. You know, they'll help each other against you, but straight up, them and them, they could care less about each other also.
Well, you know, Lowe, blacks, see, when you say Asians, you're talking about Chinese, Indians, Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Puerto Ricans, yeah, Puerto Ricans are Asian. I'm sorry, Filipinos. Filipinos, they're Asian. But if you said
Koreans, talk about the
Koreans
the
are also
Asian.
Well, see, but when you say blacks is not no one monolithic ethnicity,
right?
To be truthful,
that's true.
You and your like kind form those cartels in order to go out and assert whatever your ideal is. If you want to control real estate, if you want to control agriculture, whatever, that's what y'all do. You know, you can't expect, you know, blacks form economic markets in this country, concentrations, and the exploitation of those economic markets are not being had by blacks. They're being held by everybody else, and that there is
right.
a Travis.
Right. We'll bring all our money and give it to them.
It's the system that set up. I know black business, small businesses that try to get small business loans, good and good. But other immigrants come here, got them right away. No problem.
Man, you know what? And because
people come here to get on Social Security, if it's a black person with disabilities, they have to go through hoops and
black people have the wherewithal and the financial acumen to run a liquor store in the hood or run a cleaners in the hood, but the most profitable are the liquor stores and those little bodega type markets. And
that's
most
not
black,
always
and most
true.
Black, and most black people that have a couple of bucks to invest don't want to be there in the hood doing that work.
No, they don't. They
and
they're
not. And I can't. And I can't blame them. Now if the Korean will come over here or the Arab will come over here and live, you know, seven people to a two-bedroom apartment, and each and every one of them is dedicated towards the success of this business, so the next generation can go to school and become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer, or whatever. That's the game plan. That's what seems to work. But there's plenty of black people with money. They're not trying to. Black people get money, they get out of the hood, and they don't want to go back.
Well, Beasley,
generally speaking,
is there a reason for that?
Yes.
There's very valid reasons. So there's a lot of jealousy.
There's pathology
people.
In the hood.
They are
pathology in the hood.
They
there's
are
heavy pathology
that.
In the hood where that those that have become targets.
But here's the point. Why would you
That's
want, if they
always.
Are jealous, why are you going to change that? If they like Jesus, why do you want
to
change that?
Man, I'm not
I don't see
right.
Arabs
don't
come here. Arabs don't come here and establish no stop being hateful one-on-one class. They just come.
Right.
They just target your market.
Well, you know, you can't
right.
just start like from today. You have to look back at the historical problems and issues. You can't compare black people to any other group of people that come over here as immigrants.
I'm talking about economic issues. I'm not talking about the
right.
social.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about the I love you and so on. The other immigrants come here and they do not look at those social issues.
You're so
right.
busy trying to drive home your point. You know,
listen, I don't heard this argument
for
ages.
They're coming to make a buck and they're willing to sacrifice.
Right.
That's not
you can't
that's
do
not
nothing if you don't have no money.
Wasn't Tiaki just talking about individualism?
No, I wasn't talking about no individualism.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. You were touting individualism.
I said groups. Group success. It don't have to be one group. It could be many groups. Cartels.
You were touting individualism, and you named a particular man.
I'm not no individual because I don't follow Christianity.
Hmm.
Individualism has nothing to do with Christianity.
It does have to do with individualism.
It
you got to have
to
your
do
sins.
That's silly.
It does have a lot to do with it.
So you're really making a big leap.
A big leap. He just expanded the conversation to make it.
Right. Right.
Talk about a curveball. That's a game changer.
Yeah, it is. So my question is,
How do you change it? I think it has to start with
individual and mind your own business, take care of yourself, try to do some good where you can, and don't worry about all that shit because it's too hard.
Why is it too hard? Yeah.
It's hard enough for me to control myself and have myself on the right path.
Why?
Much less.
Why? Yeah.
Well, you're going to get to let me answer one before you ask another one, because it's getting a little...
You just said it's hard enough to keep me on the right path, and I said, why? Expound on
because
that.
Because there's distractions out here, like Blog Talk Radio, and other distractions.
Beasley, let me ask you a question. What's your age range?
Really, just go there.
My age range?
You're over 50?
I'm 50, exactly.
Well, see, that's the difference. Low is 37. I noticed this where the young people don't want to hear that stuff about what they can't do. But it's these old heads. Why don't you let me finish saying what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
As I said before, young people don't want to hear this stuff about what they can't do. It's these old heads that know better, but yet instead they want to throw these obstacles out there. Now, I don't know if you're doing it intentionally or you're just doing it just to let people know that they do exist. But if the previous black generations had left their young with something to build off of, then many of these things would not be occurring today.
That's a real good point.
Is fine. We've been through this 800 times. We know about institutional racism, economic equality, etc., etc. And I'm agreeing with you, Mr. Economics. But what do we do? You know, and right now is what
I don't have any answers. I don't have a solution. Ooh. Anybody that claims to have an answer or solution, I think it's an ideologue, and they're just talking.
I think it has to start with their young children. They have to be, there might be institutes that need to be opened.
Okay, wait a minute, Miss Lady. I'm still talking. Good Lord. All right. Look, it's like this. That's fine. And you know, we bringing the problem out. But yet, no one has a solution. Why not? What happened to reach one, teach one? What happened to that? What happened to mentoring? What happened to I made it. Let me help somebody else get them started.
They exist. You know what? I'll give you the naked
Beasley,
honest truth.
Shut up.
All right, you don't want to hear the truth then. You're asking rhetorical questions, and you're trying to solve unsolvable problems.
Can the man finish talking before that
yeah,
run this show?
Oh, yeah.
Well, shut up.
All right, you two. All right.
He always is going across the line with his country ass. Down there in the swamps of Louisiana, like he got some goddamn sense. Get some money, nigga. Get your money up, nigga.
Wait up.
You talking to a city from the big city, nigga? I'll buy your whole motherfucker.
All right.
Thank you.
Right. Said that magical word that was not allowed. All right. Look, Dr. Claude Anderson in his book, you know, he basically said, let's see, where am I? They would use the same words but attach their own meaning, objectives, and target populations. Black people would have to be intellectually vigilant to recognize the tricksters. Some would be white and some would be black who do not choose to be black and do not accept the vision of an empowered black America. Some would be conservative and others will be liberals. Their intent would be the same, to thwart change. Now, if that is the case, why aren't we working toward a solution? We know what the problems are. So instead of keep putting the problems out there, why aren't we working toward a solution? Is my question to the panel. So I'm through
now.
Well,
I agree with you. We talked it to death. And it's easier to talk than to really come up with solutions and to actually be a part of the solution actively. You know, so... but I think it really has to start with very young children. They have to be taught and have to become a part of them that they have to work together. They have to invest together.
How are you
going to
teach them?
For each other. There might have to be, like, after-school programs. There might need to be that someone starts, so they bring in these black children to teach them those principles, that they do activities in a group. That they have success in it, they start teaching them about finances, saving money. All of that can take traveling outside the country, exposing them, developing computer applications. There was a 5-year-old black girl who did one. So I mean, there it has to start with really young. It's hard for brown folks to change. It's so hard. they're very rigid and they, you know, they just reinforce their positions even though they're ridiculous. So I think it has to start with very young children. Really.
Very young children.
Very young. They have to be mentored. They have to have adults that care about them or are supportive, that, you know, from various walks of life. You might have a business person. You might have a real estate person, healthcare person. Even teach them just etiquette, like which fork to pick up and, you know, how to, you know, even grooming. I mean, there's a lot of need. And so you have to start young. Forget these old people. They're just not going to change. They're, you know what, and they don't want to change. And they're going to resent, actually, other people coming along and even teaching some of these young children the way, because they messed up. And it's really, you know, they feel it's too late for them, even though it may not be, but they're going, you know, so there'll be a lot of obstruction and blocking, and that should not be, you know, that's going to have to be dealt with too. But there's going to be a lot of parents and grandparents who want to want their children to succeed. They don't have to have a different mindset, not just individualism, not look at me, I'm so great, look what I'm driving, look what I'm wearing, look what I own, look how I pop, look at me, look at me, look at me. That is so ridiculous, and it doesn't do anything to address.
But Miss Lady, here's what I'm about to put out there to you. Most people who do not want change, they already have it. You understand what I'm saying? They're already driving the fine cars. They already have the nice big houses. So, of course, they don't want change because they already got what they consider their dream. Okay?
They
want
to be not everybody who's doing it. And some people, when they get older, they look back and they want to help. They want to get back. Not every single person is that way. Now, there's going to be a time issue. You know what
Majority
I'm saying?
Of the time. Majority of the time when they...
Yeah, you know,
majority of time when they
like
get older,
look,
like she
you
said,
already
majority
got
of time when they get older,
that's
they get
no
afraid. That's all that is. When they
you
get older,
you know,
they get scared.
You know what? It'd be nice if some very wealthy individuals, and I know they're afraid to do so, but would start an institute for young children.
You know, you already have schools. You don't have to, we like to do that
well,
Me Too,
I mean,
Me Three thing.
Well, you know, there's not enough. Because the charter schools, if you're talking about these charter schools, most of them aren't any better than...
I'm not talking about you need private schools to do what you're talking about. There are private schools. There are the Council of Black Institutions. The Council of
Institutions. And what I'm talking about is where the parents pay depending on their income, not some out-of-reach, you know, tuition. I'm talking about really some real concerted effort to change things.
You're actually right there, lady. I'm gonna tell you why. Cause this lady that I work with, her husband is paying $18,000 a year for his daughter to go to a private Catholic school down here. $18,000 a year for tuition.
Mhm.
Yeah. And
I
think that's
paying $35,000 a year. It's crazy.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about,
you know what, they have to worry about how they're going to pay it. They won't be able to. So I'm talking about a whole different structure. And it could grow. You know, it could start in one area, a couple areas, and expand. You know, I don't know if you'd want to have government grants involved. I don't know if you want the government in it. But I think you have to start with young children. Forget all these folks who just want to argue and talk and hear themselves talk, who really don't care.
Let me tell you something.
What I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell everybody something. I am so sick and tired of hearing government grants, loans, et cetera, et cetera. The government prints money. If they need money to go to war with somebody next door, they'll print the money for it. If they need money for whatever, to pay those senators and those congresspeople, they'll print the money to make sure that it happens. So as far as I'm concerned, the money is not the issue. Do they care? That's the issue. The people that's on the top right now, if they don't care, they're going to come up with every excuse that they can and say, oh, we don't have the funding for this. We don't have the funding for this. You don't have the funding to keep open a public school. You don't have the funding to keep open a big city like Detroit, Michigan, but
You paying $5 million a day in a war for nothing. You don't have
you know,
the money
there was
for
somebody,
that.
You're right. There was somebody though on one of these blog talk shows that was saying the Vatican bailed out Detroit.
Sheesh, I can believe that.
The Vatican done bailed out of all these corporations. I don't know if it's true. The Vatican.
When you think about how many devout Catholics you have in the world today, all over the world, and you think about how much money that they're giving to the Catholicism. So of course they did, and all that money is non-taxable. So yeah, of course they did. I can believe that. I can believe that.
You know, Vatican bailed out no Detroit.
I don't know if it did happen.
Well, I tell you the thing we believe.
I just heard like 10 minutes of it. I don't know if it's true. I don't have time to find out. But it was on Blog Talk this weekend. I had a cold, so I was kind of in and listening. I could have sworn that man was saying the Vatican bailed Detroit out of bankruptcy.
Imagine that.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe
just go back and fact find. We don't have to go back and forth about it.
I don't have time. I'm driving right now.
That ain't never stopped your mouth. You don't start coughing now. That didn't stop your mouth a few minutes ago. So,
you know what? This individualism is just bullshit. You know, it's just another thing that's thrown out there to brainwash people and get them off track.
Listen. What else is this company based? I mean, this country based on? Everything is individualism. Everything that you can think of in this country is based on individualism.
That's what they tell you, so when you don't succeed, that's what they throw up in your face. No. It's not based on. It's based on white supremacy, and it's based on white folks supporting other white folks to be rich and stay rich. Okay.
I agree with all that. But the thing is, when you say, "Okay, well, rapper Tyrone, whatever." Yeah, I'm going to give you $50 million to make me X amount of albums. And he'll jump up and say, well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Okay, there you go. But he's only looking at the system that he was raised in. You look over in the Middle East. Everything in the Middle East is all for the betterment of the United States and its few allies, not for the whole world. And the United States will take the majority of all the credit for everything that's happened over there. Yeah, well, we went over and we did this, and, you know, America spearheaded this and that or whatever. Everything that you can think of is based on individuality. I mean, just a few years ago, Reggie Bush. Everybody was Reggie Bush. And then right now they hollering the quarterback of the Saints team. Reggie Bush left. They didn't win no Super Bowl. Reggie Bush was there. They won the Super Bowl.
Well, that's individual talent, but that doesn't mean
everything,
that individual succeeded alone. He would not be successful if he had that coaching and a team support. Let's be real.
And everything is based off individuality, even more to it than that.
Bush becoming president, that was based on his wonderful individual qualities, right?
Of course not. Ask me one question at a time and don't keep talking. No,
well,
that wasn't based on his individuality. That was based on the fact that you had a... I don't care if you don't listen to it. Go. That's what you're good at. Run.
All right, y'all.
That's why women's single.
That's why she's single. You're absolutely right. Her individual claim to fame is I dated a half millionaire. There you go. Like I said.
Come up with these solutions. First thing out of their mouth, we got to see if we can get a grant from the government.
Yeah, the very thing
they've been downing the whole conversation.
Right. You have enough black people in this country. You have enough minorities. Well, I hate to use the term minority because if you use that term, then it's denoting something that's bad. It's a curse. But you have enough people that's ethnic to be able to help people that's ethnic, but they don't want to pump the money into that system. You think about it. When you had an NFL lockout or NBA lockout, the players are the ones that bring the fans. Jerry Jones don't bring no fans. He's a nobody. Michael Jordan can fill up a stadium on his own. So why don't Michael Jordan and LeBron and a few other people say, you know what, we don't need them. We can do our own thing without them. But slaves don't think like that, do they? As long as you think within a slave capacity, you'll never think like that.
And well, people with money is not gonna put that money in the way of bad decision, or should I say a train wreck. If you got a good idea, people will back you.
So what you're saying, the black community is a train wreck?
No, I said people are not gonna put their money in the path of a train wreck.
Okay. I'll just verify. Hold on, let me bring Mr. Economics in. Hello, Mr. Economics. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I've been actually cracking up listening. Everybody was so excited to talk about all the problems. I decided to chat in the chat room about a solution, and all of a sudden we go silent. Mm. Because it's very easy, like the gentleman said, when we want solutions, the first thing people do is to talk about the government needs a grant or they need to invest
right.
in us.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the very people you say end up are killing you.
Right.
In our communities, the black community already has the resources it needs to change itself, from education to housing, to economics, to unemployment. We already have it. The slave, if you would, already has enough know-how, enough resources to become the master if they choose to. But if we continue to have people define us and continue to have people directing our efforts instead of being self-directing and defining those things for ourselves, then we're going to get what they give us. So if we already know white supremacy is here in America, okay, yep, great, wonderful, fabulous. And I'm 38, if y'all don't remember, so I didn't march with King, and I never had to drink out of a colored fountain and all this other stuff. I'm sick of hearing it. I mean, it's really – I appreciate everything that everybody did, but we still marching. So
previous generations should have laid a path for you to be able to follow. You know, the five biggest expenditures that blacks in America are involved in is housing, foods, cars, trucks, clothing, and health.
Wait a minute, Pianki. Go back. Now, you just said something that the previous generation should have done what?
They should have laid a path for him to be able to follow into.
Absolutely.
And be able to pick and choose on either side on what it is that he wants to master. He didn't do that.
Absolutely.
Not to the great extent as they should. Now, as I said
Whoa. Because, I mean, you know, during their time, they did lay a pathway out for us. But we became too technologically smart for our own damn good.
Well,
you know,
They've done a good job as far as bringing the issue of civil rights to the world front. But as I said before, in the 70s, whites left the cities. You don't see no white gasoline stations like you used to. You don't see no white supermarkets like you used to. You have to damn near accuse white supermarket firms of being racist if they take out all their stores. You know, here's the point. They would take out all these stores out of the inner city because it's a liability factor and put them on the outskirts, and they know blacks would run out there to them. So to say that what we need – and here, others come in. Others look at where your expenditures are, and they target them. They know they ain't going to control all of it, but they would target as large as a portion as they can possibly handle.
And that's what they're supposed to do. That's what business
Absolutely.
Is about. So why don't, if we know this, and that's been my issue with this particular conversation with some of the other comments that have been made, we already know all of this stuff. So we know how much we're spending on a liquor store and a chicken shack and a check cashing place and a rim shop and a barber shop. in our community. We know what's there. So how about just own it?
First, you said we all know this. When you say that, you're throwing a blanket over everybody. But the thing is, you have a lot of people that still that's not willing to go out there and say, hey, you know what? I want to own this business. You know,
let me make it a little less general. The people who were just commenting on the show for today,
right,
have asserted that they know this,
right,
which is why my comments in the chat room were, it's not about what we're going to do. What are you going to do? Because if you know this already and you want to bitch and moan about it, then do something. That's at the end of the day. That's what it is. And it's not let Michael Jordan do something, let Oprah Winfrey do something, let Bob Johnson do something. We can do something now. It doesn't benefit Bob Johnson not one iota to invest in this.
I'll agree. See, one thing that, and you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one thing that the people from the communities that we come from need to understand is we need to stop waiting for a savior. We need to stop waiting for somebody to come and save us out of the situation we're in. You know, we're not willing to stand up and say, hey, you know what, I do have some say-so over what's going to happen to me. Then everything that you just mentioned is going to continue to happen. You know, you're going to wait for Oprah Winfrey. Oh, she has $1 billion in Michael Jordan, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to continue to wait for those people and the influential people in your neighborhoods. If you don't have to, then don't wait for them. And, you know, it's like we will consume any and everything, but we won't step out on faith and say, hey, you know what, I want to start something new. The basketball player,
I have to give some of them credit, though.
Hold on 1 second. This guy, this basketball player, started a line of shoes and I think clothing. Nice clothes, nice shoes. Called Starberry.
Olajuwon?
No, Starberry. Yeah.
Strawberry, yeah. There's been several of them that do that.
He
made them affordable, too.
Right, that's the thing.
Right.
He made them affordable, but we were so ignorant. We said that we would rather go and spend $175 for the Michael Jordans because they're just more comfortable.
That was not all.
That was a while back. They had a challenge. And they were selling them in like a Pick and Pay or a real discount shoe store, and they were made by Spalding.
Right.
And they allowed you to try on the Spalding shoe and the Jordan to see which one was better. And I mean, the both of the shoes feel the same, but the shoe that he made was $29.95.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jordan at the time was $115.
Mm-hmm.
But because it said Air Jordan, we felt like we owned that. Instead of Spalding, which was a cheap shoe, it was a ghetto shoe. It was a smack in the face about our poverty, so to speak.
I give before it slips my mind. I give some of those multimillionaire African Americans credit, like Jay-Z has gotten into the business of being agents for professional athletes.
Now you know what? I'm not with that. I'm not with that. No.
Me neither.
No.
Me neither.
No.
Me neither.
Well,
why come you not?
We only look at these guys because they have media hype, and there are many more successful and influential and impactful minority business owners that are in what we call small business, which is what's driving our country. You know, Jay-Z can only hire so many people. He's not Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we always have had agents like that
in professional sports. You had it in the Negro Leagues. You had agents that was intermediaries between when blacks was playing on Negro League teams, the Birmingham Black Barons. Piper Davis was the agent. He had a contract for the players, Willie Mays, for instance, and the managers for the professional teams, the Los Angeles, who they were at that time, came to him. So, yes, he was an agent for the players.
Right, but now, what I'm saying is from an economic standpoint, We're talking about an industry that has less than 600 clients. I mean, we're not talking about somebody that is dealing with the steel mill workers or the Walmart employees or the guys that are the engineers at Nortel and IBM. We talk the NBA has 600 employees that they can have agents for. NFL got 1,500 employees they can have agents for. That's not going to make an impact in our community. Now, yeah,
well,
those guys.
But it don't make a. It may not make an impact for a community, but that's what you call. That's what you call multiplexing your business. I mean, your portfolio.
Oh, no. Now, I'm from a business standpoint. Do that. That's wonderful. That's fabulous. But the majority of us are not able to do that. That's what I'm saying. When we hold up Jay-Z to that esteem, there's no way. There's no way that a regular everyday guy is going to go from his 9-to-5 job making $30,000 to $60,000 a year and all of a sudden be an agent for an athlete.
Well,
there is a way for that
really
same guy. There is a way for that,
that
same
either.
Guy to leave his job and then have one of these more profit producing centers in our community and have a significant impact on not only his personal wealth but the wealth of the people in the community.
Well,
that's more,
people
that's
like him can be philanthropists, and they can also be sources of revenue for investments. And I can't think of the term that need to be applying there. You got to have people with money that's willing. That's the non-traditional way of getting capital in order to start. Banks is what's called the traditional way. Non-traditional ways is like we've been talking about, self-funding. Family or philanthropists, and I'm not. That's not the capital ventures.
And,
like
basically, angel investors or venture capitalists.
Venture
and,
capital.
And
that's
saying,
it.
What I'm saying is that's not the common way. That's another misnomer that's in our community. Most of the business opportunities that we have in our communities are not even prepared for venture capital investment. It's just not structured properly.
Well, no, they're not. But as I told Lowell, you know, early on, is that you have to form cartels or groups or your homies or whatever we want to call them. That's how those things are kicked off. You know, hey, Gates wasn't by himself. He had another group of people with him.
Gates had
and that's what you
had
to do.
Jake
Simmons had the same
thing.
We're
talking about the same thing. We're talking about the Bill Gates whose first company was a miserable failure. That's the Bill Gates we're talking about?
Well, yes, that's the Bill Gates I'm talking about. There's nothing wrong with being a failure. You learn from your failure.
I'm just saying we need to be clear.
Of course, I couldn't. If I dropped the building, I would never overlive that. But you learn from the mistakes that you make. My best business teacher was a woman that failed 7 businesses.
I understand, but we're talking about Bill Gates having people with him. They only raised $15,000, not 150, not 1.5, not 20 million, $15,000. That's it. When we put large numbers and we hold up people who have obviously the top 1% of the income in the United States, when we hold them up in such esteem to where we cannot move forward without them. Then we devalue what we actually have in our communities. Our communities.
Well, I
are
just
met-
used him for
one,
example.
1%.
Hold on, Bianca. Let him finish.
Yeah, our communities aren't made up of the top 1% because we're behind on that generational wealth. So our communities are growing into what it means to have wealth, and as such, our Rolodexes are not full of those people. I've met a gazillion entertainers and athletes, and none of them are thinking like I'm talking about because their mindset is not for wealth. They are employees just like everybody else. So you might have a Jay-Z who has become a brilliant businessman or an Usher, brilliant businessman, but the average everyday athlete is a W-2 employee just like everyone else. They just
got
a lot of.
There's more out there than you think it is. I have business plans come across me that project $300 million income in 2017, and what they need to start up with is, you know, just a few million dollars. when I pass this on to people I know, they give me three or four names, four or five names that I'm not interested, but try these folks out. So they out there, you just don't know about them.
Okay. And again, the discussion today was more about how things in the community as a whole are shaping up. And those issues are more spoken to as far as a viable solution when the average everyday person can contribute, when the average everyday person can see some benefit, when they can start to see some progress in their personal finance. Those things don't happen on Wall Street.
Those now, things, you know, I don't know about you. If I was going to advise a cartel like Lowe, would be the head of, like I mentioned earlier, I would say the area to get into would be foods. Good old foods. Now, what's going to hurt that is that Congress is talking about cutting food stamps. Food stamps is a cash flow. I mean, I don't down people that happen to be on them because whatever the circumstances, that's what it is. But it's a cash flow that's in your community that we don't control. And also another thing, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to move people out. You have to draw red lines in the sand. Hopefully they don't turn pink.
You know what's amazing about this conversation? I love the way everybody deflects solutions. It's really interesting. To say that we could just get in food, all right, and then we mention Congress. Those two things don't go in the same category with small business. They don't go in the same category.
Uh-oh.
So we're deflecting the actual solution to bring in topics that we can argue about. You know, so if it's about solutions, let's stay focused on a solution that makes it viable. If it's about just a gossip show or, you know, let's get the hot topic for today and continue to talk about racism or male versus female, you know what? Y'all can have it.
Well, you know, food is viable. Look who controls the produce market in the tri-state area on the East Coast. It's Koreans. They wasn't there all the time. Who controls the garment industry in Manhattan now? Chinese. They weren't there all the time. Jews controlled it.
Okay, you're saying this to say what?
Right, I'm waiting on the reason that this.
No, I'm saying that this thing. That's because we have grown to say things are status quo. That don't mean that they status quo. They are vulnerable too. The ones that control things stay up in the wee hours of the night and trying to figure out how to maintain and control who, what they have, and also how to keep others from encroaching on what they control. Your food supply within a black economic market is not no name say. It's not no given. It can be challenged. You just got to put the right plans together to challenge. I was talking to a black blog talk radio station. And they was talking about food, and they was talking about going to talk directly to farmers. I said, you don't go talk directly to farmers. You go and talk to those associations that represent black farmers. If you need 20,000, if you need 20 tons of a product that one farmer may be able to provide it to you, but suppose he can't, that mean the end of your operation? So you go to the associations who are handling in the best interest for a group of farmers, and you go to them.
Give me the name of two of them so I can contact them tomorrow.
All right. 662-458-0983. The man's name is Eddie Carthan, Carthan. He's the head of the Mississippi Family Farmers Association.
And what's the mainstay of their products?
They represent black farmers.
Black tobacco
another
farmers.
One.
Black wheat
no,
farmers,
black,
black
no, black agriculture farmers. Farmers. Black agriculture farmers. And probably, I don't think they grow any tobacco. Another one, the Federation of Southern Cooperatives in Georgia. His name is Ralph Page, P-A-I-G-E. His telephone number is 404-765-0991. Now, another thing that would be good is getting into is goat farming. The Federation of Southern Cooperatives, a person by the name John Zippert, his telephone number is 205. Pardon me?
Pianki, I mean, I appreciate the information, but
he asked me for contacts.
No, I actually wrote them down, I'm going to tell you guys what I'm going to do.
And let me tell you something.
I hope you wish me well.
I know he was trying to challenge me. Well,
no,
Pianki don't say something.
I don't say something he ain't going to be able to prove. I like collaboration and cooperation. Challenging and adversarial doesn't work. So what I want to do, though, is, and I'm going to call him. I wrote both numbers down. I'm good. But it's just the overall thought process is what we're not talking about.
You know something else, too, that we overlook? Immigrants here, they like their own food products.
But wait a minute. Let's go back to the original thing before we move on to the next one. All right. Now, Mr. Economist, what was it that you just said?
So here is some, no pun intended, food for thought. Okay. I'm not trying to control my food, okay? I'm just trying to be profitable. And in order to be profitable, I got to be smart. Food Lion, which is a grocery chain that's, you know, throughout the South, at least, has a diversitive initiative. Now, as much as people talk about the United States and race, use it to your advantage. They look for, on a regular basis, cooperatives of African-American farmers who can supply product, in particular produce, to their stores. Hmm. That's all they do. You have to be structured appropriately, bonded and licensed, and be able to maintain distribution needs that they have for their warehouses. Also, that's the same thing. Aldi will purchase the fruit and vegetables from you. The reason why I was interested in these two things is because a friend of mine introduced me to a farmer cooperative out of Mexico, and we're bidding as minorities in the Mexican category or Hispanic category to qualify. They have zero African Americans that are in that category because they can't find any. Is there?
Can't find none. Wow. I'm looking for African American rice growers. I couldn't find none. Let me give you one other name too, Mr. Economic.
Wait a minute, this is very important
on this one.
I hear all day. Go ahead.
Alcorn State University. You want to contact Reed Anthony. And his number is 601-877-2305. And he would be a person that whatever your discussion is around the areas of food and black farmers, well, he could probably tell you, you know, the best direction to go.
So now, when I get to these stages of solutions with individuals, everybody has somewhere else for me to go. This is about community. And I'm not saying this to you. Is it Pianki?
Pianki.
Oh, Pianki. I'm not saying this to you individually, but I'm just saying for the individuals that are listening that have, you know, harped and complained and murmured the whole thing. When we get to these stages of the conversation, this is when we need the dialogue. This is when we need to start sharing the information and building a plan. This is where plans come out of, this stage, because now we have some action to take. That at the end of the day, and I promise you, the action that I'm talking about taking produces money.
What part of the country are you from?
It produces industry. It produces jobs.
Of the country are you located?
I'm located in the southeast, down here in the Carolinas.
Oh, okay.
So I'm ready and willing to work with everybody that's willing to work, but the dialogue has to be about solutions because we are a community of resources already. It's just missing those one or two pieces that can bring us over the hump. So imagine if I'm able to get two or three of these cooperatives to ship just three or four truckloads a week of produce to Food Lion. That's thousands of dollars a month.
Now, there are some African-American truckers associate, not truckers association, but trucking firms, too. So if you locate a supply and you need truckers. If you don't find any black truckers, call me up. I know one or two. Matter of fact, I know one there in North Carolina.
Mm. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Michael in. See, that's great. Let me bring Michael in. Michael, you there?
Yeah, guys. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I was having a discussion today. You guys are talking pretty good. You was talking about the stage that you guys are in. And you know what we were talking about yesterday? You got to know which direction you go on. Are you going to actually start your own business, a startup on your own, or are you going to do like you guys are doing? If you already have some money, go in and invest into a business. There's two sides. But, see, the most important thing that's blocking us, and I can hear, we keep on saying black businesses. But see, the solution is to all of this is that we have to communicate better amongst each other socially. Because socially, right now I'm calling the show, y'all called it, so socially we came together, right? And then that's why we're having this show. Getting us together on a social level is the block. But that's the solution. That's what we must solve. Another thing I want to say, we talk about black money. It's amazing about black media, what the media does to black people, right? But, see, the money, we keep on saying black people's money. 98% of the money that black people get is from Caucasians, white people. So we have to know why we spend our money, but like Pianki said, understand startups, but that manufacturing and getting to that route too, because I understand you guys are investors, but having that dream, that communication, that structure to start up that startup, to start getting more into manufacturing, then that 98% of the money black people get that comes from directly from white people, it can start closing. That's when you have more power. Because it's iffy when we say, you know, that, because that's how we get our money. So, that's the number, because I understand, you know, our startups are dangerous or how you do that, but we need more startups in our communities. We need more research. And I know, you know, we would get negative and say, well, most businesses don't fail, and, you know, why go into that? But the more startups we have, the more successful businesses we'll have. So, you know. But, you know, it's amazing on how much, you know, money we spend on media and stuff like that. I'm going to have a show on that. But it's really amazing. It really amazes, though. But basically, that's all I wanted to add, though, on that time. I just stick in like Mr. Economist, he was on the other show, and I think the other doctor that was on there, and he was trying to hone to the other thing, because that's the blockage. Because we have the money. It's just that communication. And like I said, right now, we all came together on a social tip, talking, conversation. And then that's how we get things started, because everything starts with that dialogue, and then action must come next. That's all I wanted to say, guys.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that little input. All right.
It was good.
Yeah.
You always bring it full, sir. I like it.
All right, y'all. Well, I got to get out here kind of early today. I got some things I need to do. So I'm going to go ahead and give everybody their last words. Mike got here just in time. So I'll go ahead and start with you, Mike. Your last words, or were those your last words?
Right. Well, you already know, Mike, I have to address something real quick. This Monday, the other day before we had that economic day before, we was talking about religion. I must address something real quick. I made a statement that some people believe that you must have the Holy Spirit and you must speak in tongues and you must baptize into Jesus' name. I said some people believe that. I never said Michael believed that. Mr. Talk, you and Lowe came and, you know, may have entrance that I've may have mentioned something like that. I may have believed that. No, I was just stating what other people believe. So I just wanted to definitely correct that. Other than that, guys, it was a great show. Mr. Economist, are you having a show tonight?
No, I'm with kids tonight.
Okay, all right, no problem. But I'm gonna be checking your show out, Mr. Talk. I'll be hollering at you later, and I'm about to watch this president. He's supposed to come on at 4:45 to address this nation. But I'm gonna go listen to him, and I'll holler at y'all guys later, man. All right, Pionki, you have a nice one too.
All right, Mike, you have a good one. All right, Mr. Economics, you up?
Simply, if we keep saying we know better, we should be doing better. So if we're not doing better, that must mean you guys can fill in the blank.
Understand. All right, sir. Well, thank you.
And, all right, good talk.
Enjoy the rest of the evening. All right, Mr. Pianki.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Economic mentioned something about it. Someone has aspirations of starting a chain. But that is a good idea. You know, I heard something where Trader Joe is getting ready to start doing something on the line of using, quote unquote, used food and open up facilities, not facilities, but open up stores that basically sell food that has went beyond its expiration, not too far beyond, but to the point where it's still safe. So there's all sorts of, you know, we used to have that with bread. They used to have bread outlets in the city. People that's in poverty, of course, you don't want people to stay in poverty. But as I said before, black folks should need to be exploiting. And exploiting means taking advantage of the opportunities that exist within their communities and those residential areas, those massive residential areas that they live in and form these huge economic markets. We have to control those. If you don't control those, if you don't get our economics together, then other things is not going to get off the ground. Education, we talk about all the time. You can't have an education system unless you pay for it yourself, and so on and so on and so on. And see how nice this meeting went when Maze is not around?
I'm sure she's going to get you tomorrow for that one. You there? Hello?
That's all I had.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you, Pianki. Appreciate it. All right, y'all. Another very informative show here today. See, it wasn't all chaotic and stuff for a change. We actually had a conversation and hopefully came to some solutions on some things. I like that. That's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, but as everybody has said today, you know, it's time to stop complaining and start doing something. You know, start doing something. And I often say, take care of your house first, and from there, build from there. You know, is it easy? Maybe for some, maybe not for some others. But just put forth the effort, and you'd be surprised at the result that you get. You know, that's not that hard. But if you never put forth the effort, then you never know. You never know. But, you know, we're all human and we do things. We do things. So, you know, hey, good luck to everybody out there. That's all I got to say. Well, y'all, we got a few minutes left. And, you know, I want to talk about something I was talking about real fast, you know, before I get up out of here. I started the day talking about. And I think so, too, Benny. Violence in this country, man. Well, you know what, I'm going to go further than just this country. The violence in the world, period, is just astounding. I mean, every day, either on the news, on your computer, you know, over the radio, you hear about some type of violence. There's everywhere. You got 12 car bombs going off in Baghdad. You got a Christian church being attacked in Pakistan. You know, you got a daughter and her husband shooting the mama and the brother, and then the daddy got to shoot both of them and kill them. What is going on? I know some would say, well, you know, it's written in the good book that these days will come. Well, dang, but still. You know, it's like life is not cherished anymore. Morals and values are just gone. They don't exist. You know, I was watching, and here's what I'm saying. I was watching I was somewhere and they had a television. They had Steve Yuko show on, or whoever, you know, the bodyguard used to be for Jerry Springer. And they had this woman on there. And this woman actually came on there to say she beat up her 6-year-old child, made him lay in trash, go to sleep. He wouldn't get up because he was scared she was going to beat her again. Make him sleep in the closet. You know, kick him, punch him. And why did she do this? Because he looked just like his daddy, and his daddy didn't want her. Really? Have we just come to that now? Are we just in that frame of mind everywhere now? If that's the case, man, we're in dire straits. We really are. You know, not only economically, you know, but personally, family-wise. I mean, we just, you know, and some of it just leaves you speechless. It really does. It really does. And one more thing I want to talk about real fast. Of course, you know, that would be going on right now. But here's another thing I want to talk about. You know, we put a lot of things out there about, you know, how the military is getting ready to fight the citizens and so forth. And it's amazing how, you know, these so-called top radio personalities like Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, and some of the others, they never talk about that. Why? Is it they already know they don't want to alert anyone, but yet they want to alert anyone about anything wrong as far as the presidency going on, Congress, House, whatever. Like we always say, do your own research. You know, it's fine to listen to what they have to say, but make sure you go behind it. Because sometimes what they tell you is not all the truth. It's not all a lie either sometimes. But if you don't ever do your research, you'll never know. Now, will you? Some just make you go, You know. And who knows, you may find it and start barking. You'd be so surprised. Oh, man, it's just crazy. But anyway, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. It's been fun. Chat room, Antoinette, Benny, Daboo One. We had Enjoying Life, Mr. Economics, Beasley, all my guests. Hey, thank y'all for being here. I appreciate it very much, and I hope to see y'all tomorrow. The topic tomorrow is, look who want to come back in real fast. The topic tomorrow is what's wrong with the VA, and VA means Veterans Affairs. Yeah, we're going to talk about them a little bit tomorrow and see if we can help some veterans get better treatment. But before I get out of here, I see Mr. Lowe is back, so let me let him get his last words in. All right, Mr. Lowe, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, your last words. You got lucky.
Sometimes a half truth can be more damning than the entire truth. Now you think about that. Now, if I tell you half of what's going on, I mean, let's be for real. Hannity and Limbaugh, all those people, they already know what's going on, and the majority of those people have land that they've allocated and paid for outside of this country already. So the majority of those people already know what's happening. They have the backing as far as financial-wise to be able to make moves like this. But they'll keep everybody else still. They'll tell you half the truth. They'll give you us only a piece of the information so that we can be the ones that's fighting for the Democrats or the Republicans, or why is this or why is that, you know, and we won't see anything different. Only thing we'll think is, hey, you know, they're against us, you know.
Right.
And that's furthest from the truth, because they're all against us. Like I said before, okay, Mr. Talk, let's just say we were born a year apart, and you went to college a year before I did, and you pledged Alpha Pi Phi the year before I did, and I decided to pledge when I got to college the same thing. And now we're fraternity brothers. And now what happens is we both graduate with degrees in political science. And I decide that, hey, you know, I'm going to go on the Republican side. You go on the Democrat side. We'll shake hands over some cognac and say, hey, I'll see you in Washington. Mm-hmm. We already know that we love each other and we have more ties and more bonds to each other than those people that's giving us money at our campaign raisers and you know, stuff like that. So regardless of the fact of what comes out in the wash, we're going to support each other. It may look like I don't support you on the front, but on the backside, hey, I fully support you because you're my fraternity brother. And I love you and your family. And, hey, Jen has the best brownies I've ever tasted. And Jen's your wife, by the way. But I'll come out in front of everybody. I'll come out in front of everybody else and talk about how much I hate your guts. See, the people in general need to wake up to this stuff. Even the independents, none of those people are there for us. They're only there for a small collection of people, you know, and I'll never stop saying that. I gave Joe all the credit in the world. Yeah, I gave Joe all the credit in the world, but Joe, when you start talking about Ron Paul, Joe grabbed some knee pads and said, I'm about to wear these out.
Oh, wow.
And so, hey, like I said, man, hey, we all need to understand that, hey, it's basically us against them, period. Mm.
That'll work. Yes, sir. You make sure you here tomorrow for What's Wrong with the VA so we can give out some of this good information to those veterans out there struggling.
I'll be there for that.
All right. All right, man. Well, thank you. You have a good one.
You too.
All right. Oh, all right, y'all. All right, y'all. Well, that's going to be it for me. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. What's wrong with the VA? Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. I may surprise you with some information. Also, don't forget to keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. And make sure you're forgiving yourself first before you can forgive anyone else. All right. Well, that's going to be it for me. Y'all have a great rest of your Monday, and I'll see y'all tomorrow, and we out. Kick up the leaves and the magic.